This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Generation Next. It's 4 minutes past seven on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dill and Caitlin.
And we have a new addition to the team, Dill.
We most certainly do. We've got the fantastic Georgia, who's joined us on our online. She's our social media and podcasting.
Georgia, welcome to the crazy house.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we appreciate your future endeavours of doing podcasting. Have you done it before?
No, I have not. So you're in luck.
That's all the part of it, though. That's the best part.
Are you technically savvy yourself?
Technically savvy. Look, I'll be honest. I had bought a BlackBerry once, and I had no idea how to use that phone. And that was, for months and months and months. I got a new smartphone. Don't know how to use it properly. I am, the most untechnologically savvy person you can come across in our
generation. You could meet a cute guy who helps you at, an Apple store or at some telecom, some Telstra place, and he could, sort of show you the features of the phone, and it'd be a great way to kind of, kill two birds with one stone that way, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And, find someone who can work my phone and, regale me. Oh, and work me.
Oh, I like it already. Welcome.
Thank you.
That's good.
So, look, Georgia, if you just want to tell us about, an on-air interview, what is your experience with podcasting and audio?
With audio. Okay. I do audio engineering at a uni just around the corner. So I don't know how to podcast, but I guess I'll learn.
We clarified that, but she does have some audio background, which is that's reassuring. Mm-hmm, that's got to be reassuring. That's got to come in handy.
I think it definitely has to. I mean, I think that's why we got her on the team.
Well, we certainly got her. We got her for laughs anyway. Yeah. Now, so listen, Dill, my darling, what is coming up what's on the menu tonight?
Well, we've got a whole heap. We've got so much going on in tonight's show. So if you want to join in or jump into the conversation at any point, text in 0427 Joy 949, or you can hit us up on Twitter with at GNJoy 949, because we will be talking to Dr. Rob Cover, who's the author of Queer Youth Suicide, Culture and Identity, Unlivable Lives. This is the first Australian book on queer youth suicide, and it highlights the question, what makes life unlivable for some young GLBTI people, and what makes life not so amazing for other GLBTI youth? What makes it...
What leads them maybe down the path of suicide.
Yeah, and self-harm. Yeah. And the book highlights a lot of really in-depth points, such as, self-discrimination, self-hating. And one thing that needs to be taken into consideration are the literature that's surrounding youth suicide, specifically for GLBTI young people, is that it's outdated. Some of these books were really written 20 years ago. So this is incorporating things.
So Dr. Rob Cover, do you think he's bringing something fresh to the table? Do you think he's bringing something that's current and relevant to GLBTI youth?
I think so. And I think it's hard though to make an assumption because it's still new info.
Yeah,
it's still being raised, but
and it's not something that is widely discussed either. Let's face it. It's not. I've been at Joy now 6 months and done a couple of different shows. I've had the opportunity to co-host a few different shows, and we've never actually covered youth suicide.
It is something that needs to be addressed, and it is a very, very dark subject matter. But I do think it's something that definitely needs to be talked about and discussed, because at least we can start a dialogue.
Absolutely.
Because most people know that one in four GLBTI youth members will attempt suicide.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually quite...
That's huge. That statistic's really scary.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, if you are thinking, having dark thoughts, there are the gay and lesbian switchboard they're a good service. And also Lifeline on 13, I don't know.
You'd have to Google that one. Sorry, listeners. But if you do have any further questions for Dr. Rob Cubber, who will be coming in, and he's the author of this book, then obviously text in your questions to 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And if it's something that you don't want to go to air necessarily, then feel free to also call our receptionist. And that can be a more confidential way, I guess, of getting your message across. It's 1300JOY949.
Yeah, and we've also, on a lighter note, we do have some young people that have got the brand new show coming out called Green Stick. So this is about those first years out of high school.
Oh, God, they were fun. Like being like first year uni, doing like the big trips overseas, or maybe some people do a gap year.
Yeah, or just that first year of just like, you think, this is what I found. And I don't know about you, Caitlin, but I first...
You don't know what I did. I can't remember.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
I can't remember. There's lots of things that I did.
But you know what it's like when you first go out of home and you first like branch out, you're a young adult and you think you like know everything, and then you just realize,
well, you think anything's
shit.
Possible. You think, oh, rent, everyone pays rent, I can do that, you know, everyone has a car, so I'll get a car somehow. And see, like phone bills, rent, social stuff, wow, how does this all come together?
Absolutely. And it's just like, what are you, a gremlin? And then you see other people and they've always got a way of living, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't
surviving
understand.
Day to day, dollar to dollar.
Yeah, I'm definitely
everyone has their methods still.
I've been known to, you know, dig around in my room just trying to find like some kind of spare change, just any kind of cash to keep me afloat sometimes. I think that this show that we'll be talking about will have some interesting things for some young people.
How about those kids that are scratching for coins? I remember going through my parents' pockets, and like my dad used to hide his wallet in his shoes, and like I've raided my mum's old jewelry bags, anything, and I found fivers, tenners, $2 coins, everything that added up, and yeah. I could buy movie tickets, and I was very scrupulous. I was quite good.
That's really thrifty, Caitlin.
Yeah. Hey,
we've got more Generation Next and Antiques from Joy 94.9 coming up after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
It's 17 minutes past 7. You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Dylan and Caitlin.
We have got, I feel so lucky tonight, Dylan. We have got such a fantastic show. We've we've got coming up an interview with, let me turn the piece of paper over, with Dr. Rob Cover, who's covering issues like GLBTI youth suicide, massive. He's covering something that is not discussed often enough, I don't think. And then we've got amazing, gorgeous young boys in the studio right now.
Yeah, we do. But with our Dr. Rob Cover, look, despite increasing acceptance, like legal protections against homophobia and anti-discrimination policies throughout much of the Western world, suicide attempts by queer youth remain relatively high. And for over 20 years, research into queer youth suicide has debated reasons and risks, although it's been often reiterated assumptions about sexual identity and youth vulnerability. Rob, he's our next guest. You're the author of Queer Youth Suicide, Culture and Identity, Unlivable Lives. Thank you so much for coming on to Gen Next.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Now, Queer Youth Suicide, Culture and Identity, Unlivable Lives is your first book in nearly 10 years. And while the subject matter is something that needs to be discussed, it's really dark. It's a really dark topic. What made you want to write this particular book?
Oh, well, look, it's not my first book in 10 years, but I think the first globally in almost 10 years on this topic. So there've been a couple of other prior ones. A book from Canada in sort of about 2001, 2002. Which is called Dead Boys Can't Dance. Now, the reason I wanted to write about this topic was I'd done a bit of work around this around the mid-2000s, and I left it alone because there's so many new organizations and groups were actually dealing with the topic. And then there was that spate of reporter suicides in about September, October 2010 in the US. It was Tyler Clementi and 10 or 11 others.
Tyler, he was the one who was filmed while having sex on campus. He was filmed. Is that the same young gentleman?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, I realized that we actually need to come back to this topic and talk more about it, because the suicide rate is staying relatively the same. While we have all these new protections, there's more awareness around it, there's greater media representation of LGBT characters and people, you know, there's less isolation than we used to have in the past. So the question for me is, well, why do young people still consider suicide? You know, why is there still this logical connection between being queer youth and suicide and self-harm.
Because Rob Dill mentioned a statistic which I found shocking. Is it 1 in 4 that suicide? Is that an Australian statistic or...?
Look, statistics are really difficult. I think it's actually somewhat less than that. You've got two things that actually are at play. One is that we never really know how many people are considering suicide or do actually complete a suicide because it's not always reported. So there are all these cases of coroners who, you know, if they've played sexuality down, or you know, if the person's been possibly transgendered, they actually keep it out of the report because they know it's going to upset the family.
Right. So it's hidden more for personal reasons. Do you think that is counterproductive to then getting the message out amongst youth or? What are your thoughts?
Yes, it can be. But the problem we've got is, at the same time, there's an idea that the number of suicides reported might be, or the number of suicide attempts reported might be higher than the actual case. And that's because of this cultural idea that, you know, if one is queer and young, then one should be thinking about suicide. And then, so it's so people talk about it more. So when there are statistical surveys done, people will say, oh, yes, look, I've considered suicide. Now, I think everyone considers suicide at some point. And, it crosses people's minds, you know, in their early teens when we start thinking about life and death, you know, we start having this sense of death and also maybe a sense of how harsh the world is, you know, in general.
Yeah.
But I think queer people will tend to say more about, you know, suicide because of this kind of cultural logic around that all queer youth are suicidal, whereas it's only really a very small percentage. It's still high and still much, much higher than straight people, but it's still, we shouldn't go overboard and say it's everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the book explores how sexual identity formation and sexual shame and discrepancies in community belonging and exclusions are why some queer youth are vulnerable at the risk of suicide. Now, what exactly does that mean? Just to break it down.
I guess clarify just some of those themes for us, Rob.
Gosh, to do that, yeah.
Well, you've covered them in your book, so we'd love to hear a bit more.
Well, I reckon we need 30 books to really understand it. Probably we would barely break the surface. Look, suicide and life and identity and all of these things are so complex. I mean, people are so incredibly complex that, you know, really understanding why things happen, is incredibly hard. So, you know, we can theorize it. We can have, you know, people like myself and some of my colleagues who, you know, spend most of their working day thinking about these things or researching or reading on it. But we still don't really know. But for me, there are three things that I actually really wanted to highlight in the book, which was that we need to think about what's happening for young queer people today, as opposed to using old stereotypes from the 70s and 60s, which is what a lot of research on suicide does. And it assumes that they're sort of, you know, queer suicidal people, you know, in sort of rural areas on a farm, have no sort of knowledge of, you know, anyone else who's not heterosexual. You know, that there's this sort of stereotype that there's no media representation, that everyone's inherently isolated. Now, there's still some of that, but we have moved on quite a lot since then. And so isolation is not as big an issue. Media representation has changed drastically because, you know, we now have, you know, a lot of representation. We have a lot of LGBT people, you know, on TV and film, between Glee, Brokeback Mountain, Buffy, whatever.
Ellen.
But but there are still these other things that remain. One of them is shame. You know, shame is something that, you know, affects everyone. We still live in a culture that is, you know, deeply affected by an idea of sexual shame. You know, we have that as little kids, you know, being told, you know, if you mention anything sexual, not quite understanding it, you know, you're told that it's dirty, you know, it's not an appropriate topic, all of that, and it's hidden. Yeah, and I think that kind of thing stays with us for the rest of our lives. So even though, you know, we might take pride in our sexualities and just, you know, and enjoy sex, at the same time there's still this little element of sexual shame, which for some people will be greater. And we know shame can actually be a causal factor in suicide.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob, obviously there's a huge extensive amount of research that went into creating your book. Can you walk us through a bit about the process? How did you begin?
Well, I suppose a lot of the kind of research that I do is theoretical research. So even though I do use a lot of interviews with young people, that's sort of not the core of it. I always have this idea that that the research process needs to, we need different people doing different things. So you have some really good people like Lynn Hillier at La Trobe, who's who did all of those writing themselves in surveys. Yeah, that, those are really important. But a lot of that work is just sort of is around the data gathering. A lot of the work that I do is sort of more around the analysis. So really, I take a kind of a cultural studies and media studies approach to talking about youth suicides. So I like to start with, you know, well, what are the cultural ideas around and where do we get them for what makes this link between queer youth and suicide? What makes this logic? So I actually start in the book by talking about popular culture and film and television, and how this idea, how we see queer characters being linked with suicide, and how we see more than a third, particularly in the 70s and 80s, more than a third of queer representations have suicide involved in them in some way. Yeah, so it's sort of somewhat higher than the reality.
Well, it definitely sounds like you absorb a lot of information in that brain of yours, Dr. Rob. But thank you so much for sharing that. The book is called... I've lost my voice over the past week.
You're doing a lot better, Dale, than you were last week.
You should have heard me last week, Rob. I sounded prepubescent. The book is called Queer Youth Suicide, Culture and Identity, Unlivable Lives. Rob, where can people find this book?
In a few weeks' time, through Hares and Hyenas, I believe. People can also buy it either as a hardback or as an e-copy or a PDF from either Amazon.com or from Ashgate. That's ashgate.co.uk.
Fantastic. And we'll definitely chuck a link up. Thank you so much for sharing some time. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hey, 27 minutes to 8, my voice broke yet again. It's Dill and Caitlin, and we're joined by two young gentlemen.
Strapping, if I may say so myself.
Strapping. Oh, strapping, there's a word for you.
Oh, thank you.
That was Sam? Was it Sam or Andy? I don't know, I wasn't looking.
That was Sam. Sam Hamilton's the blondie. Welcome, Sam, and welcome Andy Matter. You're the actor, Andy.
Yes.
Cool. And you play Scott in the series, and it's called Green Stick.
Yes, Green Stick.
Yeah. Dill, do you want to explain what this series is?
Oh, well, I think Sam, the creator, I think, Sam, you're the director and producer, is that correct?
Yeah, writer, director, producer, editor, I do it all. Too much work, but...
Wow.
You've really bitten off, like, more than you can chew, but how's it coming along?
Very well, actually, yeah. We just filmed episode 7 today, so we're just powering through. We're planning on doing 16 episodes. We've already actually had two TV networks interested in potentially pursuing it.
Can
as a
you
series.
Disclose which ones?
I can't really
are
know.
Are we talking, you know, like ones that we'd know of?
Yes, ones that you know of.
Wow.
But they're very, in different capacities, and it's very early. Like, they just want to see some footage. It's not like, they're like, yeah, we're taking it.
Still, it's very hopeful.
Right.
It's very hopeful.
So is that, I guess, because it's going to be produced online, is this opening a whole new... This is like opening a whole new doorway for up-and-coming series and, like, new ideas. Like, you're a pioneer.
Yeah, well, it's quite easy to get the word out there, I guess, because you're just able to sort of put little clips up or whatever, or put promo pics up, and you can just link different, like, companies or channels, organisations, and they can much more easily, I guess, see your stuff than they could have.
So will Greenstick have its own website, or are you going to be sort of like doing it through YouTube, or what?
Well, the main site right now is facebook.com/greensticktv, but we're going to be setting up the YouTube channel in about a week. So if you like the Facebook page, you'll get all the updates, and we already have heaps of like clips and interviews and pictures and all that sort of stuff on the Facebook page now. So, yeah.
Amazing. So tell us a little bit about the series. What's the synopsis, concept?
Well, it's about a group of friends. It's their first summer out of high school. So it's all about like that kind of like time of you don't really know who you are. There's a lot of risk and sort of potentially bad things you get yourself caught up in, I guess. A lot of danger. So it's about that first summer, and one of the main characters passes away, and it's sort of, about how everyone deals with that situation. And because this character was kind of like the... unofficial leader of their group, I guess.
So it kind of brought, it was sort of like the glue that brought everyone, yeah. kept everyone together. We were talking before, as you guys knew, to the fabulous author, Dr. Rob Cover, who's written a book about youth suicide. Now, you disclosed before, this character suicided, is that right?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but it's not a huge spoiler, because it does happen like quite early. So the character does commit suicide quite, I guess, unexpectedly. And then it's just about everyone trying to... and everyone else, it's kind of like the show's based around mental health and substance abuse, like, primarily, so yeah.
And Andy, you play Scott, who is the queer character in Green Stick. What can you tell us about young Scott?
Well, I think the main thing about Scott is that his sexuality doesn't define him at all, or either to his friends. They all see him for who he is, and that doesn't ever come into it, apart from when he's acting a bit horny at parties and reference.
We've all been there.
Well, because I cheekily asked him, Andy, if he does a kiss on screen, and he said that may be coming up. So those listeners who are looking for a bit of a kinky kiss between two sexy boys, that might...
You get to see me almost bare it all. Anyway, yes, so
we get Andy naked when we can.
And I'm looking at him, and trust me, it wouldn't be such a bad thing. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Wait, what was I saying?
I don't know, you're having it naked. The series itself, it's all about young adults, and this is like, it's quite a tumultuous time. Any particular reason why you select to make a show about the year after high school, or maybe not a little bit further down the line, or the last year of high school? Like, what was that one year? Is that a whole of significance?
Well, I just kind of thought there's a lot of shows that kind of explore, like, you know, university, college life, etc., and there are a lot of high school dramas, but there's not really one about in the middle.
That transition.
Because it's kind of about them. It was originally going to be called Little Fish. So it was originally, it started off quite differently, like a lot more lighthearted, just about people out of school trying to find direction in their lives. But
I only just left school last year, and like, so I'm in that year now. And I guess for me, I think of it as that year after you lose the stability of going to school every day and you're trying to discover who you are and what you want to do.
And the options are so vast.
Yeah, and you lose that plan that you have every day. You're like, what do I do? What?
And the community too. Yeah. I felt, you know, that community leaves you. And so when it's something like a death happens, to lose that person that brings a group of people together, it's incredible what the side effects, what can happen.
Yeah.
One question I have, so the series is going to be airing online. How do you stick with the format of, I guess, like, one, like, promo to regular dates? Is it a set cycle? Or?
Yeah, so it's going to be from August the 10th. It's going to be every Monday. Sometimes we'll have double episodes, but, yeah, generally it'll be weekly, and it's got 16 episodes, so we'll run pretty much the entire year, so...
Now, if you were offered to do more, would you guys be open to doing it?
Yes, definitely.
I'd sound so good. You've really whet my appetite. I'm so up for seeing this. And Dil, are you excited?
I'm always excited.
You're sitting here
looking
very calm.
Very calm. Yeah, very cool. Right now, on the inside, I'm having like a carnival.
Better be.
Oh, yeah, Sammy boy. Now, so this is all going to be online. And one thing that I like about this idea is that, you know, I'm such an on-demand person. Like, I hate having to
wait.
And
patience then, is not Dill's middle name.
Yeah, no, it is not. And neither sit through
me,
ads.
Dill. Neither with me.
We've got it made, babe. Pack of Tim Tams, TV, it's on.
Jersey Shore, oh yeah.
So this is just a really cool way of being able to provide a show that you can just watch whenever, and you get to skip around, I guess. Will there be, like, I'm just trying to work it out in my head, like, with the legalities of it. Like, how do you... like get a cash from it? Is it a non-funded?
Non-for-profit?
So far, yes. I've funded it all myself, which has been quite difficult. I mean, I've had some help from some family members and stuff, which I really appreciate. But yeah, mostly it's pretty much all just been...
Self-funded sort of thing?
Self-funded. We do have a fundraising page. Am I allowed to read that out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pozible.com. So pozible.com/GreenStickTV. And so we only have $150 more to go to reach our... preliminary goals. That's exciting.
Oh, come on, our GLBTI community. You know what?
Contribute a dollar or two.
This is for young people.
You can do it.
This is for a young GLBTI series.
Which could become famous. This kid next to me, this budding Scott, which your real name, of course, Andy. Andy Munner could be the next big thing. So contribute. You know what? When I pay my rent next week, I'm going to be definitely putting a couple of dollars towards it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think for also just like, I guess, people in our older generations who might be listening, this is a great thing because, like,
fabulous. course.
How much do you need, like, one of those shows where it's, I guess, a diverse? Because it's not a, just a simple GLBTI-focused show. It's got larger. It's encompassing of all young people. Is that correct?
Yeah, we tried our best to kind of include. There's, like, 8 major characters. I tried my hardest to include someone sort of from, like, a different sort of social circle or a different walk of life. So hopefully there's at least one character that everyone could be like, oh.
Identify with.
That's what I was like.
It's the old cliche, like Sex and the City. Yeah. You know, like there were the 4 women that women could identify, a bit of a fit there. That's fantastic, Sam. Sam and Andy, it sounds so promising. I'm so excited to sort of see it. Now, mention again the Facebook link and also when are you going to air on YouTube?
So it's facebook.com/greenstick TV. We are having an official premiere, which you guys are more than welcome to come to. You're definitely invited.
Oh, yeah.
We're having that at Loop Bar on the 31st of July in Melbourne. So that's in Myers Place at 7 p.m. So we're having some media people there and stuff, hopefully. And
are you going to be airing? Like, are you going to be basically showcasing what's to come?
Yeah. So it's the first 7 episodes, actually. So you get like a little marathon viewing session if you come to that.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Definitely hit me up on that. I'd love to be there. I'd even wear a suit for the event. Get all real schmoozy.
Yeah, we can schmooze and booze.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this. Thank you, Sam and Andy, for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
It's 7:45 on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Generation Next, and we are about to hit to our normal part time of the week, Gay School.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Gay School.
South Australia to vote on gay marriage. South Australia could become the first Australian state to legalise marriage equality after a bill to that effect was introduced into the state's parliament. South Australia's Labor MP Susan Close will move the same-sex marriage bill 2013 after receiving legal advice that the state's parliament was actually within its rights to pass such a bill. South Australian Premier Jay Witherell has already indicated he'll be supporting the move. Now, this is an interesting...
This is a massive step forward.
It most certainly is.
It doesn't confirm that they've clarified, yep, we're legalising gay marriage in South Australia, but this is a huge step forward politically.
Well, it is in one sense. However, in terms of constitutional law, look, it's not actually a constitutional law in Australia to have same-sex marriage or marriage equality. Now, the federal government can actually denounce that amendment to law. So that's one thing that
Well, there was another thing, Dil, that I read that said any state legislation legalising same-sex marriage that passes into law may be subject to the High Court, you know, the High Court challenge. And ultimately, the law with regards to marriage is a Commonwealth responsibility. Mm. So, and you know, to be very political, it is in Section 51 of the Constitution. But so that because it's the power really lies in the Commonwealth, the High Court can challenge that passing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that can be adverse.
But the fact that at least 19 MPs of the House of Assembly in South Australia, including the Liberal opposition leader Stephen Marshall, they were all in favour.
The bill is expected to go to vote by the end of the year before a state election in March. Yeah, which I think is that's quite nice.
Well, the fact that you've got a majority number, portion in a party that are in favour of a pro same-sex marriage, that's reflective of obviously then a cultural attitude of the members of South Australia, which is promising because the more support we have, the more ticks on a piece of paper we have, then the better chance we have of getting it through.
I agree 110% on that, Caitlin. What else is coming up?
Well, I don't deal. We've got quite a few pieces of paper in front of us. Which one do you want to attack now? Shall we go to Snooki or should
I think so. I think so. Now, I think you are a Jersey Shore fan.
No,
as
you
well.
Were watching on the weekend. I wasn't. eating your heart out, darling.
Eating my heart out, watching Jersey Shore.
Let's explain to listeners, this is like, what's going on?
Nicole Snooki Polizzi told attendees of an LGBTI community event she's praying to one day to have a gay little boy and wants to be a better role model. Snooki and her former co-star, Jenny J. Wow Farley, attended an event at New York hosted by the Trevor Project, which is an organisation for the prevention of LGBTI youth suicide.
Which is so interesting because that's like now the third youth suicide that's themed in tonight.
It most certainly is. And just a quick segue, if you are a young GLBTI youth member, or if you're just feeling a little bit down on yourself and you're not a GLBTI youth member, call Lifeline on 13 11 14 because they've got a lot of people who are there to help and just to listen, just to take in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've got Rob's book coming out at Hares and Hyenas. It'll be available on Amazon as well, which is all about that. But back to Snooki, back to Jersey Shore. Now, she's saying she wants to have a little gay boy. Do you think she's actually aware of all the other sort of social difficulties that she might be facing in the fact that...
When I did read this article, I don't know if you watch South Park, but I was definitely reminded...
Sometimes.
I was reminded of a certain celebrity heir that was featured in one episode who was going around and getting, she had pets that were a bit not us, pets that tried to kill themselves pretty much.
Right.
And Butters, one of the characters, he gets adopted as a pet. And it just made me, when I was reading this article, thinking about Snooki saying she wants a little gay boy, I just thought
it sounds like
that.
It's almost like an extension of, like, it's another handbag.
An accessory.
Yeah.
A total accessory. A little gay accessory. But hey, look, she said she wants to be a better role model. Let's...
I think her intention's good. I think she'd have to do a bit more than have a gay son to be a better role model herself. But having a gay boy, I think she's got good intention, but I don't think she quite understands how that can be perceived anyway.
Yeah, maybe there's more stereotype in her mind than anything else. But gay youth refused rainbow stickers to a Liberal MP. Rainbow flag stickers, which we know are often displayed by businesses to indicate an LGBTI-friendly service. The young gay activist group Yumcha out in Warrnambool, they've started a local campaign around the use of rainbow flag stickers to promote LGBTI-friendly businesses because they've refused to give a sticker to federal Liberal MP Dan Tehan because of the coalition stance on marriage equality. Now, this is an interesting means that they've come up to start this campaign.
Do you think because still they're so isolated, well, not so isolated, but Warrnambool is obviously more of a regional area than Metro Melbourne.
Yeah.
Do you think that the need to have stickers on gay-friendly businesses is kind of more crucial in an area like that?
I think it would be as well, yeah, because it says that, hey, you are safe here. You are safe here to bring your partner and have lunch without someone eyeballing you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And the fact that they're making quite a strong stance, not giving it to Dan Tehan. How has he responded to that? I'd be interested.
Well, apparently they did meet last year, and they were discussing a range of topics. And when the meeting ended, they asked David for one of the rainbow stickers. And because of the coalition stance on same-sex marriage, that there's a no-conscious vote that they are of the against, they refused it. And I think it's... I'm not too sure what the Liberal MP's stance was, how he took that reception, but I think it's good that Yumcha, this group, they stood to the values, because you've got to... I think a lot of people have to realise that just by handing out a sticker, displaying the sticker, it's like you actually there's a meaning behind it, and you kind of have to enforce that meaning. They'd be like, oh my god, a rainbow,
and
gays spend money here now.
Well, you've got the rainbow which was removed at the crossing in Sydney in the gay district of Sydney. Was that in Oxford Street. Of course, Paddington. So that spoke volumes of that area. That's such a culturally gay area. That was sort of iconic. But I think that it is really important in these regional areas to have stickers on shop windows. It may not be as important in inner city Melbourne because queer people can really blend in. But, you know, and I think in a way, you know, good on to them. Good luck to them sort of making a stand to the Liberal MP Dan Tehan. And I think that, you know, it really speaks volumes about their attitude towards his conservative views. And I think that, I agree with them.
I agree 100%. And just touching on what you said, how being here in Melbourne, it's more, I guess, widely accepted to be gay.
You can kind of blend in.
Well,
like,
absolutely.
No one sort of looks at you and thinks, what's he wearing? Is he gay?
There are so many straight guys. And when I'm out at like a house party or something, because I don't go to a lot of like gay places. Most of my friends are straight. And when I go to parties, I'm like, hey, friend, how are you? And they're like, I have a girlfriend. And I'm like, but you look gay.
I know. I'm finding it, you know, as time goes on, it's so hard to identify now almost.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, the style and the evolution of the male, the stereotypical male image is changing and evolving so much. And I think that aesthetics and cosmetic stuff has come into it. And I think it's kind of cool, but
it's confusing sometimes. I just want to know.
It can be awkward for everyone.
Absolutely. Hey, we're nearly out of time.
We got 6 minutes, technically speaking.
I think that we're just about done, except for I just want to just quickly, quick throw across the pond to New York City. A New York City health officials have urged gay men to get vaccinated against meningitis in the lead up to the city's gay pride events later this month. An outbreak of the disease mainly affecting New York City's gay community has actually killed 7 people since it began in 2010, and 22 people infected... Oh, sorry. Out of 22 people infected, 12 tested HIV positive, making them more susceptible to the infection.
Of course, because their immunity is so low. We were speaking last week to
the Dr. Healthy Bear.
Healthy Bear. And that was all about HIV and trying to reduce the spread. They're opening up in Paran. What's that?
They're opening up a rapid testing clinic.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jill. You saved me. It was always all in my head, but it just couldn't
come
out.
I'm there for you, baby. I'm there for you. We are out of time now, my sweet little Jen Nexters. But we'll be back next week. Vic is still kicking it overseas.
I know. That's where you should be right now, rather than, you know, sort of gorging on your Tim Tams and watching Jersey Shore eating your broken heart out. You need to be on those islands.
I definitely need to. Get some sun, see some boys. But Jen, we'll see you guys next week.
Woo.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.